Psalm 51 is an amazing psalm. It's written by David. It's written for the choir director. It means to be publicly communicated. And as the superscription says, it was written after Nathan the prophet had confronted David after his sin with Bathsheba. And the background of Psalm 51 is 2 Samuel 11 through 12. And the Lord sent Nathan the prophet to rebuke David of his evil sin. And there are six sins, we know, plus five major violations of the Ten Commandments in this episode with Bathsheba. He coveted, he committed adultery, he bore false witness by lying, he stole another man's wife, which makes him guilty of stealing, he had a man murdered, making himself guilty of killing, and he intentionally got Uriah drunk. So Nathan confronted him with all of this, and somewhere between David's confession of his sin and his realization that God had taken away his sin, he wrote Psalm 51. It's an extremely important psalm in the Bible because this presents to us that even if a believer has committed terrible sin against God, if he'll face it and deal with it in a proper biblical manner, he can find the forgiveness of God, and he can be restored to a wonderful life of joy and fellowship and service for the Lord. So Psalm 51 is a psalm of amazing grace because it shows how those who have been involved in terrible sin still may find the full forgiveness of God. The rebuke of Nathan got to David. It hit him hard. Because of that, David responded to God. He reacted in exactly the way he should have, and as a result, he experienced victory. And there's a pattern here for any of his sin to follow, and if you follow that pattern, you're going to experience exactly what David experienced. And David asked God to completely take away his sin. Look at verse 1. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Notice carefully how David identifies a sin he calls it transgressions. Specific defection and rebellion against God. He says iniquity, perverse and depraved sin. Sin, which means to miss the mark completely. So don't overlook those critical pronouns. My transgressions, my iniquity, my sin. David blames himself. He takes full responsibility for his own sin. He does not try to pass the buck to someone else. And there are four amazing requests that David makes here. And they're all based on the fact that in verse 1, he knows God is a loving, kind, merciful God who's also compassionate. He asks God to be gracious. David is asking God to see him as a helpless and hopeless sinner and grant him unmerited pity, compassion, and favor. If the possibility for grace, forgiveness exists for David, it certainly does for us. And then he asks God to blot out his transgressions. This word means to completely remove, wipe out, take away all of the sin. He asks God to wash him, thoroughly washing inside and out. He asks God to cleanse him. So clean, one shines bright. Sin makes one dirty. And then he lists the reasons why he dares to make these requests to God. Because David has precise knowledge of his sin. That word means precise. Because David has constant memory of his sin. His conscience could not shake it. As Calvin said, he lived with constant anguish of mind. Because David fully admitted his sin before God. When one realizes it, the weight of sin against God moves one to ask for his grace. And because David knew he had done evil in God's sight. The word evil means wicked evil that is hurtful, noxious, and malignant. And because David was born with a sin problem. David knew that he sinned because he has a nature to sin, which he received from his parents. That's called genetic depravity, and it's taught in so many passages in the Word. Job 14:4, Psalm 58:3, John 3:6, Romans 5:12, Ephesians 2:3. And because God desires truth in the inner parts, only God can do this. And because God can make one wise in the inner parts, only God can give this. But David is aware of the personal results if God would answer his request. Look at verse 7. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. So if God would purify him, he would be clean, judicially and ceremonially clean, with no liability for any penalty. Hyssop was used to add fragrant aroma. If God would wash him, he would be whiter than snow. Sin needs to be washed white and not whitewashed. Man tends to whitewash his sin, but only God can wash the sin away. And Isaiah said, though your sins be as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool. And this is what God's grace is capable of doing. God can make him joyful and glad. Sin never makes one truly happy. God can heal his broken spirit. Sin affects one emotionally and physically. God could hide his face from his sins. Hide, completely remove from sight. Sins is plural. God can completely remove all sin from someone, from his sight and memory, and God could blot out all his iniquities, all perverse and depraved things. But then David asked God to completely change him and restore him. Look at verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. It's a shame that most people do not have a understanding like David. David realized he could not change himself. Only God could change him. There's no hint here that he's depending on himself or of his choices to resolve this. He asked God to create in him a clean heart. That word create is bara, to create something from nothing. David asked God to create in him a clean heart that is not in existence, that will shine bright. He asked God to renew a steadfast spirit within him. Renew means to repair and restore David's spirit, which was very unstable and unsure. God could do a work of grace so that he would be a confident and sure man of God. He asked God not to cast away himself from his presence. The Old Testament idea of being cast away from God's presence is not having God's blessings and peace and protection. A good illustration is Cain. Moses believed God's presence meant having God's blessings, direction, and protection and care. And he asked God not to remove his Holy Spirit from him. In Old Testament times, there was no permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit as in the New Testament. There was a temporary anointing for leadership and service. We may see this in the lives of Samson, Saul, and David. David has sinned terribly, and yet he wanted to remain king, and so he appeals to God's grace. He asked God to restore the joy of his salvation. No child of God can ever be joyful apart from being right with God. Only God can put joy back into one's heart when he has sinned against him. He asked God to sustain him with a willing spirit. David is asking God to sustain him so he will never fall again and lose his joy. Verse 13, he says that if God would do this, then he would teach transgressors God's ways and convert sinners. Just exactly what would he teach sinners? He would teach them the key theology of the lesson he learned. You cannot possibly clean yourself up. You cannot possibly make yourself spiritual. You can't possibly make yourself steadfast. You cannot possibly give yourself a great status with God. You can't give yourself joy. Only God can do that. So what a sinner needs to do is turn to the Lord and cry out for help. And that's what he would teach sinners. And then God can forgive and make one useful again. Verse 15, O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You would not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. Notice verse 15, God is the God of salvation, and he can deliver one from all sin. David says, when one experiences salvation, notice one sings of God's righteousness. In verse 16, David brings out the fact that one cannot ever be right with God by external religion. No one can be right with God by doing external religious things. A person could offer sacrifices and offerings and be baptized and take communion and never be right with God. As verse 17 says, God forgives one who is broken and contrite at heart because of his sin. Being right with God has to do with the internal and not just the external. This is the kind of righteousness David would sing about if God would forgive him. And then lastly, God can forgive and bless the entire organization again. Look at verses 18 and 19. Do good to Zion in your good pleasure. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then will you delight in right sacrifices, in burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. God's grace was not only able to forgive and bless David, but bless Israel under David's leadership. David is asking God to forgive and bless him and also the entire nation. But what happens? Did God forgive? Well, the answer is found in Psalm 32. God completely forgave him. Did God use David and bless Israel? The answer is found in 1 Kings 2 and 1 Chronicles 29. David ended up leading Israel into one of her most blessed times in history. So when we fail and sin, run to God. Ask for his cleansing grace, and you will sin.